Seeking the Lord's help and your prayerful attention, I direct you to Psalm 138 and the 7th verse. Psalm 138 and verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. The 138th Psalm and verse 7. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. It's a wonderful mercy, beloved friends. There are sacred words in God's holy word that the Holy Spirit so applies to his dear people that are made very precious to them. And not only that, they come exactly where the child of God is. And if we've got a real religion and are in that narrow way that leads unto life, we shall know something of the realities that are couched, particularly in the book of Psalms. Some of the old preachers used to say that the book of Psalms declares everything the child of God will need, and every place they come into is recorded in it. Well, this is a blessed psalm, this 138th. This word has rested upon one's heart, and I pray the Lord had helped me to look a little into it. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Dear David, the author of this psalm, could speak this from experience. There were so many times in his life where he found himself in the midst of trouble. And when we're in the midst of it, we're surrounded by it on every side. And this can apply to the child of God's pathway. It can apply to times where they are surrounded by afflictions. There are times where they are surrounded by troubles in their souls. Well, David knew this ever so much. And there may be those this morning that feel to be like this in the midst of trouble. And David had to learn, and so will we have to, this solemn lesson that he couldn't deliver himself from the trouble. He couldn't get himself out of it. But he was given wonderful faith to look to the Lord, who was enabled with his divine power to bring him out of trouble. And this is not pleasing to the flesh, is it, when we're in the midst of trouble? Because the flesh will like a path of comfort and of ease, of quietness, and will always want to go the easy way. But there's a reason so often when we're in the midst of trouble. Sometimes we're in the midst of trouble because of our sins. So often, you know, we're in trouble because of sin. We may not realise it at the time, but the Lord brings us into this trouble to make us examine ourselves why the trouble has come. When this text dropped in, the couplet in our closing hymn seemed to confirm it to me. Did ever trouble yet before, and he refused to hear thy call. And you see, sometimes we are brought into trouble to make us pray more earnestly. You think how many times in the Word of God where there are those that were in the midst of trouble and the wonderful prayers that were squeezed out of their heart by the Lord in that trouble. I'll go as far as to say this, you know, really the best prayers often go out of the sinner's heart when they're in trouble, especially in the midst of it. Surrounded by it. You look to the right hand, there's trouble. Look to the left, there's trouble. Look before you, there's trouble. You look behind you and there's trouble. With David, he was so often troubled by his own deceitful heart. He was so often troubled by the enemies that the Lord permitted to attack him. And this is why he goes further in this text and says, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and thy right hand shall save me. We don't have to remind you of the enemies David had. And right the way, really, through David's life, he was surrounded by enemies. And so often it is with the Lord's dear children. Well, it comes to one's mind, and I will name it. You think of Israel today, the land of Israel. It's surrounded by enemies. And that is so often so with the Church of God, the Israel of God. They're surrounded by enemies. And that is very difficult to walk through when we're in the midst of trouble, surrounded by enemies. You see, with the Lord's dear children, it's so different than the world, because the world have their troubles. They have family troubles. They have troubles of circumstance. They may be surrounded with enemies of men that plague them. But the difference with the child of God is they have the same, but they have another trouble, which the world never has. And that is inward trouble. Troubles in our hearts. Troubles in our minds. Troubles in our souls. The world are not troubled by sin, are they? But the child of God is. We know, and I often mourn that I'm not troubled about my sin as I should be, and I often have to plead with the Lord that he will show me more and more of my sin, that I might be troubled more and more about it. And it will cause you many cries to the Lord when you're in the midst of trouble. And that trouble is not just around you, it's all within you. The old preachers used to say, there's no trouble like soul trouble. Concerning our never dying souls, an eternity. When we're weighed right down because of sin, because of unbelief, because of the corruption within us, and all the cries that go forth. When the publican went up to pray to the temple, he was troubled, and he was in the midst of trouble because he was surrounded by all the sins of his heart. And he couldn't get himself out of it, could he? And nor can you, and nor can I, and nor could David. But the Lord could, and the Lord had power to. And he was given here wonderful faith, and this is what so encouraged me with this word. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble. But he didn't leave it there, did he? You see, so often we're just looking at the trouble, aren't we? Whatever it may be, there may be one here that's in a trouble you've never been in before. The children of Israel knew it when we read that the Lord said to them, ye have not walked this way heretofore. It was something they were in trouble they'd never been in before. And these things really weigh the child of God down, don't they? They wear us down. But oh, what a mercy it is if we are given the faith, and this is what sweetly encouraged me with the text, is this, what David was enabled to say. You may better go with the first part, so may I, but can we go with the second? When he said, thou wilt revive me. Oh, you think of that this morning. And this is where the child of God is different than the world and the ungodly. They know the first part, but do they know the second? Thou wilt revive me. Because they're never brought to look to him who is able to revive. If you look in the prayer of Hezekiah, it's easy to quote the first part of it, but do we know the second? The first part was this. O Lord, I am oppressed. He was in the midst of trouble when he prayed that. O Lord, I am oppressed. He was oppressed by his sin. He was oppressed by the Syrian army. He was oppressed because he had no successor to the throne at that time. He was oppressed because he was walking in the midst of affliction. That was real trouble with Hezekiah, you know. It wasn't just one thing. He was surrounded by them. And what does he say? O Lord, I am oppressed. He was stating the fact of what he was in. Like David here, though I walk in the midst of trouble. That's what he was in. But like with Hezekiah, David could go the second mile. What did Hezekiah say? Undertake for me. And it was only the Lord that could undertake for him. And look at what you may be in this morning. Has he given you that faith to pray like Hezekiah? Oh Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. It was only the Lord that could do it, and he was given faith to believe the Lord would. And if you look in the case of Hezekiah, the Lord undertook for him in his soul by removing all his sin. The Lord had put them all behind his back. And he undertook for him and delivered him from his affliction. And he undertook for him and delivered him from the king of Assyria. And he undertook for him in God's time to provide a successor to the throne. But look at this text. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, but can you go the second mile like Hezekiah did? Like David did here? Thou wilt revive me. Do you believe it? Do I? Well, the Lord's the witness. Thou wilt revive me. David knew that his God that he served continually was able to revive him. There's no doubt this trouble was crushing David and bringing him so low, he wondered, naturally speaking, if he'd ever come up out of it. He'd ever be revived. But he knew in his soul, faith was given to believe the Lord would revive him. It's a good prayer, isn't it, to pray for a reviving? And we need it in so many ways in these dark days, don't we? We think of that beautiful prayer of the psalmist. When he said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people might rejoice in thee? And are there those that are in the midst of trouble this morning and you're pleading that, wilt thou not revive us again? And then it was the prayer too of Habakkuk, the man of God, wasn't it? Revive thy work, O Lord, in the midst of the years. Revive thy work. And it is that work which is of God that he will revive. It's like having a plant in the garden. But because of the heat of the sun in summer, it all flags and it looks as though it's dead. And then what happens? You look at it and you think, well, will that ever be revived? And then it's either watered or the rain descends. And if that's got life in it, in its root, it'll revive. If it's dead, it'll never revive. And this is the vital thing, you see. The soul that longs for this revival, it longs for it because they got life. It may be almost extinct, the life, but if there's a particle of life, it'll revive. Faith will revive. Hope will revive. Love will revive. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt. Notice the wording of it. Revive me. He didn't say, perhaps the Lord will. Or if I do this or do that, like many easy believers and people say, well, you know, if you do this and do that, then the Lord will revive you. It's like trying to build up a congregation or a chapel, isn't it? Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. I know a chapel in Bedfordshire that they introduced this and that and something else for the young people. And they thought they had a good in-gathering to start with. But then it all dwindled away and came to nothing because the Lord hadn't built the house. Wilt thou not revive us again? Now we need reviving in our souls. And what a mercy. If the Lord's going to build the church up and revive the church of God throughout this land and throughout the earth, it'll begin in the hearts of the people. Oh, it will. It's like when the apostle went to those cities in his ministerial journey. You look in the case of Philippi. How the Lord wonderfully built up that church. And where did it all begin? It began in the heart of Lydia. It began in the heart of those dear women down by the riverside. There they were in prayer. And the apostle went, didn't he, and preached to them. And the heart of Lydia was open to receive the words of the apostle. And the Lord wonderfully was to build them up. But it began in the heart of those dear women and in the heart of the jailer and others. And then we need the reviving in the church of God, don't we? Oh, that there may be a reviving of real prayer. You read the history of many of our causes over the years, you will find that there was such earnestness and fervency in prayer. Prayer was revived in the souls of the people. And the reflection of it, the revival went right through into the church of God. A building up. And he says here, thou wilt revive me. Thou wilt revive me. And David believed the Lord would. In all the trouble he was in, the Lord would revive him. It had almost crushed him, the trouble. It almost destroyed his life. But out of it all was to come a gracious revival. And then do we not need the Lord to revive his work in the nation? Or does the hymn writer say, oh, revive us and we shall rejoice in thee. Some of you may be in a very low place this morning and your prayer is continually, Lord, do revive us. You see a person in deep affliction. They're surrounded by that affliction. It affects all the parts of their body. But what a mercy when we see a little revival in them. We think of one or two of our dear friends that have been and are still very critically ill. You know, but what encouragement to those loved ones around them when they see a little reviving and restoring of their strength. Gives encouragement, doesn't it? So he says here, thou wilt revive us. Well, I want to just, well, I seek to be led into this, but I want to particularly look this morning at this, wilt thou revive us? Or revive me. Wilt thou revive me? And David felt this personally. Now, let me bring it right home to each of us here. Do you feel the need of it this morning? And do I? Well, the Lord's the witness. If this is our real desire and real longing. But so often we have to come like David did to be in the midst of trouble, to be brought to desire this. And I want to look at this reviving in a few ways, really. It seems to be laid on me. First of all, he desired in this reviving the Lord would preserve him. The Lord would preserve him. He preserve him from himself and all the evils and enemies there were within his own heart. And then the Lord would preserve him from those enemies that surrounded him. You think how many times David had to flee for his life from the Philistines? How he had to flee for his life from Saul. The Lord wonderfully preserved David from the enemies within him and the enemies that surrounded him. And in this revival that he longs for was sweet preservation, preserving him. And then we know he was a poor sinner, we know he fell, and so do we, don't we? If we don't fall outwardly, it's a mercy to be kept outwardly, but in our own hearts, in our thoughts, do we not need the Lord to preserve us and preserve us from a wrong spirit and preserve us from a hard spirit and preserve us from rebelliousness? And in this reviving, there's a wonderful preserving in the heart and experience of David. And then in this reviving too, he was favoured with cheerfulness. You know, some people, and if they come into the midst of trouble, they are so mournful and so downbeat. But with David here, one feels this. Though there was so much to make him feel like that, in his soul there was a measure of cheerfulness because his cheer was in the Lord, if I may put it reverently and rightly like that. The Lord was cheering his heart to believe that he would revive him. And you think of what you're in today. It's a solemn thing if we just walk around with a sad countenance, isn't it? Some people, you see, it's a job even to get them to smile. But with David in it all, though he was in the midst of trouble, and I visited some over the years, some wonderful characters really, that have been in the midst of trouble. And yet in it all, there's that cheerfulness in their spirit that the Lord seems to wonderfully give them, a reviving of their real spirit. And you have to admire the spirit of them in it all. It's a solemn thing, you see, to blame the Lord. When we come into trouble, the natural man will say, well, what have I done to deserve this? You hear that in the world, don't you? What have I done to deserve this? And immediately they're blaming the Lord for it. It's like in what we may be in the midst of trouble. David didn't blame the Lord for Saul coming after him and attacking him, did he? He didn't blame the Lord because the Philistines did. He looked within his own heart. And the Lord gave him faith to look above it all to the Lord who was able to deliver him. And what did it do? It gave him this cheerful spirit. Oh, it did. Now, I don't know why I named that this morning, but you see, it rested so upon me when this came, you see. Faith will look out of it. And this is why he said, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. So his spirit was cheered. There was revival on the way for his poor heart. You think of Job. I often quote that word, but it's a beautiful word really to a real child of God. And if ever there was a man in the midst of trouble, it was Job. And what did Job say? But he knoweth, the Lord knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. He didn't say, Lord, take me out of all this trouble now. He knew he got to stay in the trouble until the Lord had fulfilled his work in it. But when he hath tried me, and once dear Job had been through that trial, he knew that he'd come forth as gold. But he got to walk through the trial first. He knew there would be a reviving. Faith looked for it, longed for it, anticipated it. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, oh, to be that there might be this cheering of the heart of the child of God. Think of the disciples when the sea was raging and they were tossed around in the sea. What did Jesus do? He came to them walking on the sea, and what did he say? Be of good cheer. And there they were, nearly sinking. It is I. Be not afraid. David in it all, and we need much grace to be like it. In this reviving, he not only, the Lord gave him that cheerfulness, but he gave him this too. So he was fearless in it. You may say, well, I don't want to presume in it all. There they were, the disciples, fearing they're going to sink. You may fear this morning that you're going to sink in all the trouble. But poor soul, oh, to be fearless in it. And the Lord, what does it mean really? The Lord taking away the fears that the trouble's going to crush you. A wonderful place to be in, isn't it? It's one thing I so loved about your late beloved pastor's ministry. He was always positive. It's a solemn thing if we just preach negative, isn't it? 'Tis true we're preacher of the trouble. 'Tis true we're preacher of the things that weigh the sinner down. But you know, faith enables the sinner to be positive. To look heavenward. And he always directed the child of God to look to heaven, didn't he? And this is what David's doing in our text. He says, though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. It's a wonderful place, isn't it, to believe that thou wilt revive me. But then in it all too, and this is another point that's been with me, and may the Holy Spirit sweetly assure us it is so in our hearts, that he was to view the love of God in it all. Oh, he was. Because the Lord loves his dear children and he loved David, he was going to revive him, wasn't he? He could view love in it all. It's like we sing in one of the hymns, isn't it? Love inscribed upon it all. Oh, Job, you know, Why did he have to go through the fire and go into the midst of trouble? It's because the Lord loved Job. And he loved him with an everlasting love. And he was proving Job, and he was proving David here in the midst of the trouble. May he prove you and prove me in it. And may we prove his love and faithfulness. Love inscribed upon it all. Oh, may the Lord favour you to see in what you're in, there's love in it, the love of God. Love to sinners. Love to those that know the Lord. You may say, oh, but it's hard sometimes. But, oh, to view that love of God in it all. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth. Why does a loving parent correct their child? Because they love them. They don't want to see them go astray. They don't want to see them go into danger. And they warn them. And they correct them. But it's done in love, isn't it? And so it is with the Lord's dear children. Whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Thou wilt revive me. But too, in it all, David was favoured in this reviving to feel the Lord's sweet presence. What do we sing in the hymn? In thy presence I am happy. Are you? Am I? Well, the Lord knows. In thy presence I'm secure. Think of David surrounded by his enemies, surrounded by trouble, and yet he was secure because he was in the hands of God. And oh, may we know more and more of what it is to know this revival and be in the presence of the Lord in it all. You know, some wonderful illustrations, isn't there, in the Word of God, where there were those in the midst of trouble and the Lord was with them in it. And that revived them, didn't it? Well, you go to the fiery furnace with the Hebrew children there, Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego. There they were in the midst of trouble, in the midst of the fiery furnace. Would they ever come out? Would they ever be revived? Who was with them in it? Well, even the king Nebuchadnezzar had to state, didn't he? Were there not three cast into the fiery furnace? Behold, there is four, one like unto the Son of Man. The Lord Jesus was with them in the midst of it. Look at the preserving there was there. Look at the love. Look at the cheerfulness. Not even the smell of smoke was to be upon them when they were delivered. They were fearless, weren't they? The Lord had took away all their fears. You think of those that suffered at the stake. I was looking at an old book the other day of John Knox and others that were burned at the stake, and how fearless they were. The Lord took away it all. He revived them to go through what they had to, and he'll revive you to go through your trouble. Oh, he will. Thou wilt revive me. There's a certainty in this, you see, and David was able to believe it, and this is why he utters it. Oh, yes. But there's another point too. This was all for his teaching. And all for his soul's profit. And all for the glory of God. And the Holy Spirit has left this sacred word on record for the help and the encouragement of those that are in the midst of trouble. Whether it's concerning your soul, whether it's concerning your family, or concerning your pathway, or concerning the Church of God. Whatever that midst of trouble may mean, it may mean them all. There are times, you see, where the whole thing surrounds us. But you see, it's all in the Lord's hand. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, thou wilt revive me. Thou shalt stretch forth thine hand against the wrath of mine enemies. You know, just briefly, and I must leave it, but the enemies of David, as I've hinted, were great. The enemies of the child of God in 2013 are great. There's the enemies in our own hearts. Oh, there is. Those hidden enemies within that man doesn't see. And they are wrathful enemies so often. But then there are those that surround us of our enemies. David had them with the Philistines, with Saul, with Absalom, and many others. And often the enemies of David were jealous enemies. And jealousy was the root of it all. And what does the Word of God tell us concerning? It's as cruel as the grave, jealousy. But you see, then there's the arch enemy of our souls, Satan. He's continually attacking. And then the enemies that the child of God has today, it may be the world. It may be professors of religion. Oh, you think of the enemies there are against real godliness in this solemn day in which we live. And some of the worst enemies are professors of religion. But then, of course, the enemies of the child of God, and I refer back to your late beloved pastor, what he said once, they can be God's people, left to themselves. They be your enemies. Notice what I said and what he said, left to themselves. And when they're left to themselves, they can be bad enemies. But David here, he says, and what a sweet word it is really, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, the hand of God. And look how the Lord did against the Philistines. The Lord stretched his hand forth against that wrath they were pouring out against David. He stretched out his hand to deliver David from the wrath of Saul. He can stretch out his hand, beloved sinner, to die against the wrath of those enemies you may have. And what does he say? And thy right hand shall save me. The hand of his strength, you see. His right hand shall save me. Well, I've touched the surface. May the Holy Spirit sweetly apply the text, if nothing that I've rambled around. Amen.